And I've been with the school for the last 5 years. My daughter had just turned 3 back then, the youngest one. And I used to work as the teacher there. And then when our director left, I just, stepped in to help out.
All right. And you got involved, it sounds like, mostly because of your children, or were you involved before you had them?
No, actually, you're right. I was involved because of my younger one. My youngest one was in preschool age, and so I taught the preschool there. She was my student for 1 year, and then I taught for the next year, and I taught for the following year. And then when she graduated from pre-K, she went to kindergarten. Then I stopped the teaching and I helped to run the school.
Great. I guess it's kind of an interesting perspective it must be to have on this election to be around children who might not fully understand what's going on. And how do you explain, like, to your children what happened in the election this year?
Like you said, it is a challenge. So one thing is it is a challenge to explain to kids, how to play it fair and then get rewarded. But being a Muslim and, having this much faith, and that's what I tell my kids. So we just have to have faith and believe in, the system of life and, as a whole. And I always tell them we need to just always do our best, be our best, and pray and hope for the best. And that's our motto in life. But I think my main concern, just like any other parent of a minority, not just Muslims here, but like any other parent, I do have a little concern, for my kids, for being exposed, in school and I feel like when there is always hate speech, there is hate, it kind of fosters some hate crimes. And we've already started to hear about this in different parts of the country, sadly. But I'm hoping it's going to calm down. And I always tell my kids, we have to just be honest and be our best and be kind to others and just expect the, just hope for the best. That's pretty much it.
Yeah. Has the Muslim community in the Redmond area or in the greater Seattle area, has there been any organizing that you've been involved in, either related to the election campaign or since the election?
You mean organize something against the results, or I'm not sure.
I'm sorry. I just remember I was talking to Arsalan Bukhari with the Council on American Islamic Relations, and he was talking about some different efforts to set up kind of a Know Your Rights sort of events in the wake of just the election of Trump, who has said so many questionable things regarding the rights of Muslims and minorities.
I see a lot of the CARES, Brother Arsalan's emails, I see them. I have not actually taken part of anything recently, but I am up to date with CARES efforts and their advice, and they always send out these emails, in case you're questioned by an FBI, what to do, or in case, you're subject to hate crime, what to do. And they always send these education emails or informative emails to the community. And I do read them carefully, and I register them in my brain and on my phone. But I tried to tell my kids as well, like you mentioned, that they need to be alert, and if anything, you know, God forbid, would happen to them, they need to report it to an authority, to the principal, to the teacher, to an adult, and they, not in an evil way, but just because I don't want them to be subject to, you know, like to humiliation or to anything. And we always tell our kids to dream big and hope for, you know, hope for the best. And hate crimes and hate speeches like this, they shatter our kids' dream, and they can shatter their hopes for the future. And that's just my concern. I think my biggest concern is the children, not just my children, but the children of anybody, any minority, and all Muslims, all African Americans, all Latinos, you know, everybody is in concern here.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, obviously over the past year, year and a half, we've heard some, you know, things that a lot of people haven't really heard at the highest levels of politics being said that, you know, have spread across the country. A lot of misconceptions about these groups and sort of lumping everybody in together. And is there anything that you think people, especially people who voted for the Trump-Pence ticket, that you think people should know about the Islamic community, or even just the community where you live?
Well, I understand that when you are being fed in the media, you know, wrong, you know, misconceptions about somebody, you know, your mind, I don't blame the people, but the only thing I want to, the only thing is I have faith in the American value system. And, you know, I would like to remind myself, everybody, that there are over 10,000 American Muslims serving in our nation's armed forces. And some of them may have made the ultimate sacrifice for our country, including U.S. Army Specialist Kareem Khan or other people. And then there's also doctors, you know, thousands and thousands of doctors and engineers and police officers and nurses. And so the Muslim community is just like any other community. They work hard for the system, and they share the American Muslim, they share the American, strong American values, dedicated to raising and educating their children. They want to succeed in the traditional American way by working hard and supporting their families. They deserve the same opportunities as all Americans to build better futures for their families and their children. And at the end of the day, we are all part of this American system. And my favorite part is when my kids, you know, chant the national anthem and they say, "We are all United Nation, united, one nation, united under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all."
Absolutely. And I guess wrapping up, how have your kids reacted to this so far?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. we had a tough election night for my youngest kids. My teenager is, I'm praying she's strong, and she knew how to deal with it because they have been talking about it in the school, and she kind of knows who's in support and who's not in support. And I think she's at that age where she can, you know, speak up for herself. But my younger ones, my 10-year-old and my 8-year-old, it was a little bit tough on them. And my 10-year-old got an anxiety attack for the first time of her life, and that tore my heart. Just seeing her, she was trembling and she was crying, and she tried to speak, you know, to express herself as much as she can, but I don't think she was saying what she really wanted to say. It took a while, you know. Now she's fine. We talked it over. We, you know, we emphasize the fact that we're here and, you know, we're part of this system and we work hard and we contribute to the community and here we are and school and all that. My 8-year-old, who is less able to express herself, I think, had some anxiety, but not as much as the 10-year-old. But she also got a nightmare in the middle of the night. She woke up. She didn't want to go to school the next morning. Luckily, the principal and the teachers of their school, they're very understanding. And when I talked to them, they were very supportive. And I got an email from my 8-year-old teacher, you know, saying that, you know, any concern of Jenna, if she had, you know, whatever she has, I'm going to take care of it. And she was really nice. So I thank God for that, for sure. And I have to say, we live in an area where people are very supportive and very friendly. And to the extent that I think sometimes when I walk out, I feel like people are getting out of the way just to, you know, be nice to me. And I'm very grateful for that.
All right. I guess we'll wrap up here. Is there anything you'd like to add?
Not really much. The only thing I'd like to add is I wish that, you know, elected officials and candidates, when they talk about Islam and Muslims, they really think about the effects of their words on everyday lives of millions of American Muslim children growing up across our nation. And it is definitely appreciated when leaders publicly and vocally stand up and affirm American values of religious freedom, publicly and vocally tell stories of lives and contributions of the American Muslims they know, you know, to give hope to millions of American Muslim children growing up across the country.
All right. I've been speaking with Nihal Fahim, a mother of three and coordinator of an Islamic preschool in Redmond, Washington. Thank you so much for speaking with me today.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Winona LaDuke, speaking Saturday, November 19th at 7 p.m. at the EMU Ballroom at the University of Oregon in Eugene. Winona LaDuke will speak on nature's historic position as property and the international call to legally recognize nature's right to exist, persist, and naturally evolve. This global movement is dedicated to normalizing the notion of rights of nature. Again, that's Winona LaDuke speaking on the rights of nature, Saturday, November 19th at 7 p.m. at the EMU Ballroom on the corner of 19th Avenue and University Street in Eugene. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Radio Cab, the transportation choice of Portlanders since 1946, with service 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Radio Cab has a mobile app that allows you to book a cab with your phone, available at the App Store, Google Play, and at radiocab.net. Or, if you prefer, you can talk to a real person at 503-227-1212.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Directory, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit gaypdx.com.
It's 6 o'clock. You're listening to KBOO Portland. It's time for Cutie Pock Talk.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to